All right, well, here's my interview with Dan Switzer. Enjoy. Dan Switzer, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, thank you for having me, Ethel. It's a real privilege to be able to be on your show.
Well, I am real excited. Again, it's just so much fun to learn that there are still lots of people I haven't met yet over the phone lines, over social media, just when I thought I knew them all.
Absolutely.
So, Dan, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about your background, because I understand that you did not grow up in a Jewish home, but you did find your Messiah, Jesus, and God has led you on a journey. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith journey?
Yes, well, I grew up in a pastor's home, and my dad, Thurlow Switzer, he really, in the late 70s, early 80s, developed a very strong relationships in the body of Messiah with people like Dan Juster, Asher Intrader, Eitan Shishkoff, and so we were walking together to some degree, and definitely learned about the feasts, the festivals, and would celebrate together and have excellent times of joint worship services between our congregation and say Beth Messiah congregation. And so, of course, I received the Lord as my Savior and went into teaching. Eventually, I took a position at Etzayim Tree of Life School, which is a ministry of Beth Messiah Congregation. And I became principal of that school within a couple years and was principal there for, I guess you could say, for about 11 years. And then I really responded to a second call. My initial call was to be a teacher and to help young people to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Very simple call. And that motivation has stayed with me to this day. I received a second call to pastor God's people and to lead them into the promised land that the Lord has for us. And so I resigned my position at Siam School and became pastor at Northgate Community Church, the church that I grew up in, that my dad was pastor of. And eventually we started a school called Living Grace Christian School. And so, that's where we're working right now.
That's very exciting. So if I understand correctly, you sort of inherited your love for the Jewish people in Israel from your father. And, I mean, it's really something that you became the principal in a messianic school. So
Yes. You
must have also really been drawn to the Jewish people.
Well, it really speaks to the partnership that I think was there. My dad had started a school in the 80s called Montgomery County Covenant Academy. And then one of the principals was Asher Intrader, Keith Intrader. And he's actually the one who hired me. And I can remember times of just, prayer walking with him and praying with him. And I was a young teacher, but in many ways I felt like I was a student too, learning from people like Asher, who's, of course, in Israel now. And my dad walking with these ones, I also walked with them as well. And just gained an appreciation for the Jewish roots of our faith and the fact that Jesus was Jewish, that all nations will be blessed through Abraham's obedience. And, of course, through the line of Abraham came King David and ultimately came King Jesus. And what did Yeshua say at the end of his time on this earth? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so, we've embraced an all nations vision. And so the nations are being blessed through Abraham's obedience, one of my favorite passages in the scripture is just the story about Abraham and Isaac and how God tested Abraham to give up his son, his only son, the son whom you love, as the Bible says, and to sacrifice him, and just how they're walking together, and right there in Genesis 22, there's a couple times it says the two of them walked on together, and you know, it's just a great picture of the relationship between father and son, between Abraham and Isaac. And you know, Isaac was at least a teenager by that time, and then, you know, obviously, you know, he allowed Abraham's dad to tie him up, bundle him up, and put him on the altar. Isaac could have run away, but he just had that trust in his father. And then, of course, we know the story that the angel called out to Abraham and provided a ram in the thicket as a substitutionary sacrifice. And so, you know, you just see, you know, because Abraham was willing to obey the Lord, how, you know, all nations ultimately have been blessed. And that's just one of the stories that I share in my book, that it's just such an awesome story of, you know, the father and the son in relationship, parent and the child in relationship. And that's one of the things I want to convey to parents now, to just, you know, how can we have a great relationship with our children and our young people?
Excellent. Well, that leads right into my next question. I understand you've written a couple of books. Tell us about them and where we can get them.
All right. Well, the first one is Train Up a Child. They've both been published by Messianic Jewish Publishers. The second one is The Courage Challenge, you know, encouraging champions for God. Train Up a Child is really a desire to understand what the Lord calls us to as parents in training our children, wanting to understand, first of all, what the goal is. You know, our goal is for our children to really become what I call champions for the Lord. And we define champions for God as servant leaders of godly character who will advance God's cause and make disciples of all nations. And so, you know, our goal is not for our children to quote-unquote achieve the American dream, or, you know, to have this great, you know, life and great job and so forth, but to, in essence, just become servants for the Lord Jesus Christ, servant leaders to advance God's kingdom. And so, you know, what is it, what is God calls to? You know, that training, that's, we think train up a child, but really we're training ourselves as parents to be consistent in whatever we choose to train our children in. And that's what training is. You got to have that daily consistency. And, you know, that Proverbs 22:6 is a proverb. It's a generally wise saying. It's not necessarily a promise, because, you know, sometimes children go awry. Sometimes our young people go, you know, go off on their own. But generally speaking, it's a generally wise saying. It's a proverb that if we train our children according to godliness, they, when they're old, they will not turn from it. They will follow the Lord. And, you know, that, you know, what is training? That's that daily discipline that we have to exercise ourselves as parents after, you know, the Word of God. And the content is in the Word of God. You know, just like here at Living Grace Christian School, you know, we have five pieces of content that we continually emphasize, and that is, you know, the golden rule, Luke 6:31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then Ephesians 6, obey and respect your parents, teachers, and other authorities. And then the third one is be self-controlled and self-motivated. Learn to control your own actions, you know, command your own life before you try to command others. And then Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except for what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. So the whole issue of our talk and how we're communicating to build others up as opposed to tearing others down, to not be complaining, you know. The Bible says that we shine like stars when we do everything without grumbling and complaining. So we tell the young people, that's how you shine in God's eyes. All right, with your parents. And that's where the training ground is, you know, where we give the young people hear so much parental reinforcement to say, have a great relationship with your parents. And whatever your parents are calling you to do, seek to do it cheerfully, wholeheartedly, the first time, and with a grateful attitude. And that's how you shine, according to God's word. You shine by doing everything without arguing or complaining. And then the fifth one is a work ethic. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. It is the Lord Messiah you are serving. And so, you know, doing your work as unto the Lord. And if anyone would live according to these five standards, they live a very successful life. And so we have the content that we're seeking to teach and train our children in the Word of God. It's right there. And I encourage parents to use biblical terminology in training your children. Like, you know, don't just say, you know, stop doing that. You know, but right. to, you know, say, let's keep an attitude of peace. Let's walk in the bond of peace. You know, Ephesians talks about maintaining the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's keep an attitude of peace in our home. All right. And using scriptural words to encourage our children to walk according to God's word. And, you know, you won't go wrong. You may not get the immediate effect, like by saying things like, stop doing that, or I'm going to, you know, punish you or whatever. But you will get the long-term effect by using God's word, because God's word does not return empty.
Amen. Well, this is all really good stuff. But I have to ask you, Dan, what advice do you have for parents who have stubborn, rebellious children or teenagers? And I know that we've got people that are going to be listening when this interview airs that yes. have... you know, preteens and teens that are going through that stage. So what advice yes. do you have for them?
Well, I often refer to a Josh McDowell talk that I heard a long time ago that really made an impression on me. Josh McDowell was speaking. He's done a lot of research with young people. You know, you asked about teenagers. I would give you one answer if you asked me about a two-year-old or three-year-old. And I would get, but you asked about teenagers. So if you're dealing with teenagers in rebellion, well, Josh McDowell, he said, he gave this statistic. He talked about those young people that get involved in illicit, immoral activities. I mean, you can fill in the blank. They just, you know, just get involved in illicit, immoral activities. And he said, those that grew up in a single-parent home were like 30-some percent more likely to get involved in these kinds of activities. Then he said those who grew up in a two-parent home, but they had a distant relationship with their father, were like 60-some percent more likely to get involved in these activities. But he wasn't advocating divorce, because then he said those who grew up in a two-parent home, but had a close relationship with their father, it went all the way down to like 6%. And he said the key concept, the key word is relationship. Your relationship. And so when you're dealing with a teenager, I think you have to focus on that aspect of relationship. You have to kind of be willing to stop everything and say, I'm going to build my relationship with my young person. I'm going to try to get to the heart. You know, you see that commercial about MasterCard where, you know, you got a father and son, you know, going to a baseball game, they say, you know, I don't know, $60 for tickets, you know, two baseball tickets, $60, $30 for hot dogs, you know, $15 for peanuts. And then it says, conversation with your son, priceless. And, you know, to have, you know, whether you got to go on a camping trip or what have you, or you got to go on a major hike, expedition, whatever, somehow to get to the heart, because oftentimes young people, they don't even know why they're in rebellion. You know, they don't even know their own heart. But the Bible says the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, and a man of understanding draws them out. That takes a lot of time and patience to draw out what's going on in young people's hearts and what they're going through. And I guess the Lord just calls us as parents to kind of really reflect and in a way study our children to help see what's going on and to draw them out, not in an analytical way, but in a relational way to really get to the heart. And so it's that key thing of relationship. We live in such a fast-paced society, and I think it's very important for dads particularly to think, okay, what am I going to do with each of my children this week? to try to do at least one thing of significance with each of my children this week. Because I think, you know, parents don't really quite understand how many days we go on and on and on, and we haven't really had any kind of, interaction with our young people. And that pays its toll after a while. Our young people are looking for leaders. They're looking for people to follow. And if they don't find it in us, they're going to find it in somebody else. And so, you know, but that takes time. It takes that relationship, doing whatever it takes to have that relationship intact, that when my young person needs to talk to somebody, they're going to talk to me.
Well, it's very challenging. I know it's very challenging. I know that there are friends of mine whose children are not currently walking with the Lord, and it's very hard, but that's good stuff you've got there. And so you mentioned one of your books, Train Up a Child. Now you have another one, right?
Yeah, that's the other one that's coming out kind of as we speak. It's called The Courage Challenge, Biblical Encouragements for Young Champions. My wife and I started a Christian day camp in the early 90s, and it's been going every year since then. It's called Camp Courage. And the mission of the camp is to encourage young champions for God. The key verse is Joshua 1:9, which says, and it was given by God to Joshua as Joshua was taking the baton from Moses and being called to lead the Israelites into the promised land. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And it's uncanny. I mean, almost to a person, whenever God called his champions in the Bible, whether it was Joshua, I will be with you, whether it was Gideon, when Gideon was hiding underneath the tree, from the Midianites, the angel approached him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon certainly did not look like a mighty warrior at that point. Whether it's, David, Acts 2 says that David saw the Lord always before him. So you think of it as he faced Goliath, you know, a tremendous task. And David had skill with the sling. He had skill. You know, the Bible talks about the Benjamites, who were very skilled with the sling. David had skill with the sling. And he had victories previously as a shepherd boy. But if you're going to face a Goliath with all these people watching, of course, you're going to be nervous. But the Bible says that David saw the Lord always before him. Of course, you know, in the Great Commission, when Yeshua left this earth, he said to his disciples to go make disciples. But then he said, "And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." So whenever God called his champions in the Bible, he said, "I will be with you." And so what we try to instill among the children is just to understand that God is with you, that you can be a courageous champion for God, not in your own strength, not, you know, because you got muscles or whatever, or you got influence, what have you, but if you are focused on God's presence with you. And that's how you can be a champion for the Lord, to be aware of his presence. Of course, in order to have God's presence, you have to receive the Lord Messiah as your Savior. You have to be born again. And so then you know God is with you. And as you more and more focus on God's presence with you, the Bible says that he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. The Bible says, "Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." And the Bible again about David said, "I saw the Lord always before me. Therefore my tongue is glad and my heart rejoices. My body also will rest secure." And so we try to teach them to focus on God's presence, to be aware of his presence. And as they're able to do that, we teach them to stand. You know, that, you know, when you're faced with fearful circumstances, the typical reaction is a fight or flight syndrome. Either fight back, and a lot of people get in fights over out of fear, or to run away. But we teach them to stand, not to fight back, okay? Like, you know, if you're, you know, we're talking about your peers, and, you know, bullying is a very big issue in schools nowadays, all right? So not to fight back, not to run away, but to stand and be a leadership influence in that situation. And we talk about being others-focused champions, where they're not self-focused, but they're others-focused, that they stand up for that one that may be bullied, and they're willing to stand, all right, and to help others wherever they are. And so that's why how we challenge and encourage them to be champions for the Lord.
I think there's some adults that need to go to that camp. Do you have one for adults?
They can come.
Really? That's awesome. So you really have a heart for young people. You really want them to be secure in their faith. You want them to be respectful, and you want them to be champions. I bet you probably have a nice T-shirt that has something about being a champion on there, don't you?
Yes, and I really didn't kind of close the loop. So, you know, after a while, I mean, we've been running this camp since the early 90s, almost 30 years now. My brother actually encouraged me to write a book called The Courage Challenge. Because, you know, most days at camp, we give a motivational talk called The Courage Challenge. And so over the years, you know, you got all the champions of the Bible, David and Daniel and Joshua and Nehemiah and Ezekiel and the Apostle Paul and different ones all through the Bible. And so I came up with about 48 chapters, when I started writing the book. And actually this book is, if you had to narrow it down to 24 chapters. So there'll probably be another book that comes out in a couple of years. But there's 24 chapters, and they're of champions in the Bible and just telling their story and applying it to life, you know, and young people and how we can be champions for the Lord. Each chapter has a memory verse or memory passage to instill, because we really at Camp Courage, we encourage them to memorize scripture, because that's the sword of the Spirit that helps them to be strong in the Lord. And so, you know, they're all champions from the Bible. And so this first book has 24 chapters of, you know, different champions from the Bible. And within that theme, but of course, there's many principles that come out as far as how you as a young person can be a champion for the Lord. So, you know, it was based on that, but then my brother encouraged me to write a book and kind of compile these courage challenges together into a book form.
Sounds like a devotional. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you could use it like that. I think in the forum we talk about, you know, maybe taking a chapter during the course of a week or 2 weeks and reading it and really, you know, talking with your parents about it, this kind of thing.
Tell me again, just for, so everybody has it in their muscle memory, where we can get our hands on these wonderful books.
Well, Messianic Jewish Publishers, you can get Train Up a Child by Daniel Schweitzer on Amazon. Of course, the second book that's just coming out now on the Courage Challenge, it's still being printed, copied, maybe as we speak. So I don't know if that's on Amazon yet. But Messianic Jewish Publishers is the publisher.
And I think they would make excellent Hanukkah presents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, this is wonderful. Dan, before we end our time together, how would you like us to be praying for you or your family or your ministry? Anything?
Well, I've been a principal for about 23 years. And in some ways, with this COVID pandemic, I feel like a rookie again. And, there's just so many things that we're facing that we've never faced before. I work hand in hand with my wife. You know, she doesn't want the title of assistant principal, but she really is right there with me. My wife, Sylvia Schweitzer, and, you know, we work hand in hand with the camp, with the school. With pastoring here at Northgate Community Church, and we're just facing some things that we've never faced before. We chose to give our families a choice between in-person school and remote teaching. About 64% chose in-person schooling, 36% at the beginning of the year chose remote teaching, and so we got our desks spaced out. We call it alligator spacing. I always stay alligator spaced from everybody else, and we got screens on the desks, and of course everyone's wearing the mask. And But it's a challenge, you know. The Lord's given us grace. You know, some of our teachers, those that are elderly, you know, they're kind of, you know, taking somewhat of a sabbatical. And so my wife and I are teaching more than we normally teach. And, you know, it's a challenging season. God's grace is sufficient. We strongly believe in God's grace. Our school is called Living Grace Christian School. So God's grace is sufficient, but it's definitely a challenging time with the extra work and, you know, facing decisions and situations that we really haven't faced before.
Well, may the Lord provide all that you need and give you the strength and the wisdom to keep it all together. And may this virus just evaporate and go away real soon in the name of Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Dan, thank you so much for being my guest. How interesting. Well, and the world needs more people like you to come alongside the Jewish people and to just, you know, inform people about the Jewishness of Jesus and to encourage the young people and, you know, keep up what you're doing. You're doing a great work.
Well, God has blessed all peoples through the nation of Israel, through the Jewish people. And, you know, there's so much that we can learn through the feasts and the festivals. They all point to Yeshua. And, you know, they're good for us Gentiles as well.
Amen. Well, thank you. May the Lord bless you real big.
Well, thank you, Ethel, for having me. It's a real blessing. And the Lord bless your ministry as well.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom.
Okay. Shabbat shalom. Okay. All right.
Again, that was my interview with Dan Switzer. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings.